2. 1. From Eden, Hozier. In relation to the victims. The child reminds him of Azula, except for when he doesn't. Lee isn't reminded of Azula when he is grabbed by the hand and guided to a farmhouse, or when he is given food, or when he watches the kid talk about the war, all young and innocent, because there is nothing else he has to be. He does remind Lee of his sister. She's still his sister. She was Prince Zuko's sister, and the Exile's sister, and the Blue Spirit's sister, because she is the one he has always taken with him when he grabs a new name, and he's not through enough skins yet to understand why. When Lee looks at him, and all noise is blotted out except for the voice in his head, screaming at him to protect this tiny child, who cannot defend themselves yet. Azula has always been able to defend herself, but that didn't stop the voice when he was 8 and rushing into her room, fleeing an assassin, just because he had to make sure she was all right. And it doesn't stop it now. She was physically, technically, staring at a scorched body on the floor with big eyes and crying, and he held her for the longest time, until a guard came in, and even then he didn't let go, and when later in the infirmary, she asked him to, he told her he was still scared even though he wasn't, not for himself, and she pushed her lips together and said, "Fine, but only because I don't want you crying on me," and hugged him back, and when he felt how badly she was shaking, he didn't say anything, because then she would have let go. He is also reminded of Azula when the child spits at his feet and says exactly what hurts the most. Azula always excelled in that field. He moves forward. Two. He doesn't technically mean to. He's moving across the desert, hungry and tired and filled up with ache when he sees the white fur. His first thought is that the kid can't be that stupid. His second thought is, of course he can. So he doesn't technically mean to start tracking the Avatar again. He doesn't even know what he'll do when he stops the tracking part and gets to the fighting part. He doesn't think the Avatar can really fix all of his problems now. Then he sees the machine tracks following the fur. He doesn't know what to do with the Avatar, but maybe fighting his sister can help work out the big knot in his chest, the one that's been fogging up his mind and clogging all his systems. Or maybe he should just eat something. Get closer to me. Three. The next day and night are spent tracking the Avatar's bison, Azula. Lee passes through a town. He sees a wanted poster. It's not his. He tears it down, looks at the reward with starving person eyes. He could stop being hungry for the price of something. He doesn't know what the price is yet, but if there's one thing he's learned, it's that the price is always something. He shoves the poster in his bag. Instead, no time for me. 4. He finds the man a town in 15 degrees of the sun over. In Earth Kingdom time, he thinks that's an hour, but he has always learned by the sun. Or, Prince Zuko has always learned by the sun. Lee is Earth Kingdom. He should learn that better. He doesn't put on the blue spirit mask, because it is wanted to, but he does take a piece of cloth and ties it over his mouth. And he does pull something over his head, and that's a little like a mask, so he slips away as easily as ever. Five. Body. Mother. The blue spirit sneaks up on the man and knocks him over the head with the butt of a sword. He is unconscious before he can defend himself. The blue spirit hefts the body over his shoulder. His bony shoulder. Bonier than it used to be. He is hungry, always. The man is heavier than a Komodo rhino, it feels like, even though he isn't. And walks into the guard station. The men inside look up in surprise before the blue spirit throws the man onto the ground and holds out the wanted poster. They give him his food. He eats slowly, carefully, saving as much as possible. He cannot imagine throwing anything away for the rest of his life. The mask falls down. The bars go up. It only takes a few seconds for him to start feeling homesick. Five. From Eden, Hozier. Idealism sits in prison, chivalry fell on his soul. He fights Azula. Lee, that is. He teams up with the Avatar and the Avatar's team and Uncle. He looks at Uncle and an apology gets stuck somewhere in the back of his throat and just kind of sits there, hot and uncomfortable. Then, Uncle gets hurt, and Lee can't do much besides keep the Avatar and his team away. He's certain that they can only cause pain right now, because everything is hurting right now. His pride is pacing up and down somewhere inside his ribcage, scratching against the bars with an outstretched hand. It's all achy and acidic and wrong, and he doesn't know where to go from here. So he doesn't. Go anywhere, that is. Six. Uncle wakes up. Then Uncle tries to teach him how to lightning bend, which doesn't work as well as Lee wants it to. It doesn't work at all, actually, which isn't surprising, because Azula is better than him with everything else. Why would this be any exception? Uncle almost teaches him how to redirect lightning. Almost, because he shows Lee the form, and then does nothing else, acting like it would be anything outside the bounds of reality for Lee to have to use it. He hates it. Seven. Uncle will not teach him, so instead he asks the sky. He stands on a mountain and screams for a god he does not know the name of, to give him a gift he does not desire, to protect him from a sister he wishes he didn't need protection from. The sky thunders on and gives him nothing. Eight. Uncle knows something, and someone and his white lotus tile does too. And before Lee knows it, they're on the ferry to Ba Sing Se. He looks like a refugee. He feels like a refugee. Lee is a refugee, he reminds himself. Stop forgetting that. Before he can properly work something up to tell Uncle, maybe an apology, or maybe just another complaint, he can't tell with himself lately. A boy interrupts. Lee uses the term boy loosely. The guy looks about his age, if not older. Or maybe that's just the height difference. He says something about the captain eating like a king. He looks like the righteous type, in an odd, unsettling way. His name is Jet. Jet gives Lee bad feelings. Not in any outward way. Jet is attractive, and Zuko can appreciate when Agni's done good. But there's something about the way Jet talks that makes all of that moot. He's got a certain unsettling quality about him, like a painting of a tree, where the artist ran out of dark green paint halfway through, and had to start using light green paint instead. Not exactly horrible or scary, but off. Jet says he knows who Lee is that night, standing on the edge of the ship. An outcast. He says, like he knows anything about what Lee's life is. Like he's ever had a hole burned open inside him. Like he's ever watched a body float down a river and pray to fall in just so he can stop looking. The Fire Nation killed my parents, Jet says. He and Lee lock eyes, and for only the briefest of moments, there is a camaraderie there, an acknowledgement of open wounds. A nod from Jet, like he looks at Lee and sees something, and is nodding in an, I can't fix you, but I can see you bleeding, and that matters a lot, doesn't it? Kind of way. Lee isn't sure if it does. He's not sure about much of anything anymore. Nine. He and Uncle start working in a tea shop. They get an apartment in the lower ring. Lee flickers in and out of reality like a campfire on its last few dying embers. Life moves forward and onward and over without his knowledge or consent. That's the big thing about life that Uncle keeps trying to tell him, isn't it? It just keeps going forward, whether you want it to or not. The other thing about life, the thing that he learned himself, that Uncle never tried to teach him, is that it can always find a way to make things go wrong. In this case, the thing is Jet, and the wrong is that he knows they're firebenders. Shame, Lee thinks, as he watches the Dai Li drag Jet away. You were pretty. Of course, Lee would have never wanted to stick with Jet, but he had nice hair. To the strand, a picnic plan for you and me. A rope in hand for your other man to hang from a tree. 10. They get a new apartment in the upper ring. It's warmer and fancier, and still not enough. He is homesick for a place he does not come from, or a place he should not come from. Lee is getting sick of the skin he is wearing, of being a refugee and serving tea and being peaceful, and of keeping his head down and his throat closed because he's not supposed to be a monster. He can't remember ever learning to be anything else, though. Lee is tired. The Avatar is in Ba Sing Se. The Avatar is in Ba Sing Se. A fucking course he is. Agni, damn it all. Six. Body, mother, mother. The blue spirit returns. There are no wanted posters of him here. No one to hunt him down. He gets the upper hand on a Dai Li guard and feels exhilaration make his heart pound so hard it nearly flies away, out of his ribcage and into the cool night air. He breaks into Lake Laogai, which makes his head swim. He loves this more than he has ever loved firebending, which he will never be allowed to admit. Just the thrill of being somewhere he is not supposed to be and having no one know. Of using his swords and slipping seamlessly into the mask that he wears, with no thought of burn scars he doesn't have, and fathers he doesn't need to make love him, and a sister he has always protected. He finds the Avatar's bison under Lake Laogai. He gets a sense of calm that he has been missing for years. He doesn't know what he's doing from here, but he knows it's sure as hell something. He's doing something. That counts, right? Seven. Uncle finds the blue spirit before he can decide what something is supposed to mean. He takes off the mask. I've grown tired of his body. 12, from Eden, Hosier. It is time to start asking yourself the real questions, Uncle tells Lee, with the angriest voice he has ever used. Who are you, and what do you want? Annie can't answer. It should be so simple. He knows who he is. He made the different names so he would stop being confused. And he wants to capture the Avatar, because if he captures the Avatar, then Father will let him come home. And if he goes home, then everything will be fine again. He throws the mask and sword on the floor. He is tired of being anything at all. Eight. Body. Mother, mother. The second blue spirit drowns at the bottom of Lake Laogai, as he lets the mass float down and away. He gets a tight, sick feeling in his stomach. It feels like someone has just handed him the key to a cage he never knew he was trapped in, and then they took the key back and let it melt between their fingertips. He has a headache. The blue spirit dies with the quiet screams of 1,000 men, damned to follow him down into the darkness of the lake. Unknowing of anything coming next, aside from the grim certainty that none of it will ever be the same as it used to be. And it isn't. Tired of this body. 13. From Eden, Hosier. Lee only feels sicker when they get back home. His head is pounding through his skull, and his heart hits his chest like a running man's footstep. And then he collapses. Idealism sits in prison, chivalry, fell on his sword. 14. Prince Zuko sits on a throne. Two dragons dance around him, speaking different ideas with different voices. He knows them, if he stops long enough to remember. Then he's being pulled in every direction. By Azula, by Mom, by Iroh. He doesn't understand anything at all. He gets up desperately thirsty. He goes into the bathroom and looks in the mirror. He wakes up screaming. He was the Avatar, and he was himself, and he was a child for the first time in as long as he can remember. When Lee wakes up, he feels better. Or at least, he's trying to feel better, trying to sink farther into his chosen skin. He doesn't have a mask to free him, so he decides to decorate his prison cell as best he can. He sounds like Uncle. Things are almost going well again. Uncle has a new tea shop, and they're getting invited to serve the Earth King, and Lee has an itching feeling in his stomach that tells him everything is going to go horribly wrong. So, of course, that's when his sister shows up. Uncle fights the Dai Li agents with his breath of fire. He always manages to forget how powerful his uncle is when it's all tea drinking and bad jokes and missing Pai Shou tiles. But then he is reminded very suddenly that Iroh was called the Dragon of the West for a reason. And they almost manage to escape. Then, Lee stops. He is tired of running from Azula. What, are you going to challenge me to an Agni Kai? She mocks. Why the hell not? He replies. Well, I decline. Agni, you are such a bitch sometimes. Her smile drops into a sneer. He almost laughs. Lee feels like the type of person to laugh at things like that. Then he does. Azula flicks a hand up, and he's surrounded by Dai Li. He can't fight them off, but that's not a surprise. He gives it his best shot anyway. Sixteen. They throw him in an underground prison with the waterbender. He thinks her name is Katara. The tension in the room is so heavy he can taste it. He hasn't seen her in a long time. His head feels like it's swimming again, like he's not sure who he is anymore. She makes him feel like the exile, and Azula makes him feel like Prince Zuko, and Uncle makes him feel a lot of things he doesn't understand. "The Fire Nation took my mother away from me!" Katara yells. He doesn't know why he responds. Maybe just because he's been bottling it up inside for so long, it's starting to eat through his foundations. But he does. "I'm sorry." He says like he means it, and he might. "That's something we have in common." She offers to heal his scar for him. He doesn't know how to respond to that. He doesn't know who he'd be without it. He's glad Uncle shows up before he has to answer. He's not as glad about Azula showing up a few moments later. "You can reclaim your honor," she promises, like she means it. And she might. He doesn't know who he is, because he's everything all at the same time. He's Prince Zuko, and the Exile, and the Blue Spirit, and the Traitor, and Lee, and anything else he might have been in between. Azula says that she needs him. He's only ever wanted her to need him. And maybe to love him, if she has any room left, even though he doesn't think she does. And he thinks joining her makes him a monster, and he doesn't know how to be anything else. He betrays Uncle because he is not a good person. Azula kills the Avatar, who was a child. A child, a child! They're all children, dressed up in adult clothes, pretending to be big and strong and more than they are. But they are kids playing war, except it stopped being play now, because one of them just died. He goes back home with her anyway. He helps her conquer Ba Sing Se, anyway. He tries to leave Lee behind, with as much delicacy as possible, carefully tucked away. But every piece of the body is torn away with ferocity, taking their pound of flesh and leaving him bloody and aching. The kindest skin he has worn, and the most painful to leave. The prince builds himself less and bigger and more as best he can. His bones shake as he pulls himself free, prying open his ribcage and climbing through the bars. He always expected freedom to taste like the open night sky, but all he can feel on his tongue right now is sulfur. One. Just Add Water, Cave Town.
Please don't invite me, please don't invite me. I wanna be alone, I wanna be alone. And don't remind me, please don't remind me. I don't wanna know.
The broadest possible amnesty. The first thing the prince does when he gets home is take a shower. He thinks of going to the pond or talking to anyone in the palace that he hasn't seen in 3 years. But all his energy exits somewhere around his fingertips at the mere concept of socialization. He feels sick at the weight of everything he has done, these 3 years. Sick and grimy and impure. So he goes to his ceremony, is escorted back to his room, and then he showers until he feels like every piece of him has been peeled apart and open. He stands under the hot water for even longer after that, until scrubbing his arms makes it bleed and little red droplets fall down the shower drain. He gets out after that. He doesn't want to cause any lasting damage.
Leave without me because I don't want to go. Just add water, let me go. grow. Leave without me, I'll be fine on my own. Just add water, let me go.
2. The prince spends most of his time feeding the turtle ducks, alone. Azula occasionally appears and attempts to vaguely threaten and or insult him, but he usually laughs or brushes her off with a sarcastic comment. Not many things can faze you when you've looked death in the eyes and told it to back off and wait its turn. Azula is not a fan of his new philosophy, predictably. He passes his time by laughing at Azula and spying on the palace staff. He almost wants to start a new rumor just to give them something to talk about, Agni help him. But what he's waiting for is an audience with his father. Maybe getting confirmation will take the lead off his bones.
Leave without me because I don't wanna go. Just add water, let me grow. Leave without me, I'll be fine on my own. Just add water, let me go.
3. It doesn't. His father paces around the room, and the prince kneels before him like he always has, and then he learns that father thinks he killed the Avatar, which makes him feel a lot of things he doesn't know how to describe. Father says he is proud, though. It makes everything less heavy, except for when it doesn't. Azula has another motive for letting him take credit, because of course she does. If it weren't an elaborate attempt to both undermine him and gain his loyalty at the same time, he might even be proud. He goes back to his room and takes another shower. He turns the water on cold this time and lets it sting despite his deepest aches. They only intensify. He wonders if he will ever stop hurting.
Leave without me because I don't want to go. Rather keep my money safe inside my home. Please don't worry, I'll be fine on my own. Just add water, let me go.
4. He visits Uncle. The prison is colder than he'd thought it be. There is only one guard outside Uncle's cell, and he's easily silenced with vague threats. The prince stands outside of his uncle's jail cell. Uncle Iroh stares resolutely towards the wall, even as the prince spits and yells until his throat clogs up with acid and blood, thick copper burning and bruising his vision until everything looks washed out and gray. He leaves the prison, feeling like his skin is on fire. He gets home and takes another shower.
Leave without me because I don't wanna go. Rather keep my money safe inside my home. Please don't worry, I'll be fine on my own. Just add water, let me go.
5. Azula approaches him one day, as he's feeding the turtle ducks. She warns him that if word got out he was visiting Uncle, there would be hell to pay. I'm just looking out for you, dum-dum. She smiles, as soft as he's seen her do since he was 9, and she was 7, and they were playing Earth Kingdom Soldier. He always got killed by the Earth Kingdom, and she always avenged him. She promised every time they finished playing that she would die next time, and he could avenge her. But she never did. He smiles back, just to himself.
Leave without me because I don't wanna go. Rather keep my money safe inside my home. Please don't worry, I'll be fine on my own. Just just that water let me go.
6. A week later, they're both forced into the fanciest clothes possible and thrown into the middle of a party. The prince feels awkward and out of place, like a spearhead in a pile of wooden sticks, too sharp and unrefined. He missed most of the training he was supposed to get in preparation for being a crown prince. He goes up to the bar. A few drinks can probably make up for it. He tosses back bitter vodka, and his face constricts. He's only ever had alcohol once in his life. 13, fresh into banishment, and desperate to prove himself. One of the crew members offered him a mug, told him to drink up, then laughed when he threw up his guts later. Uncle was really mad about that. He already has a headache. All that time at sea turned him savage, I hear. The prince turned towards the sound of noble Lady Nara's voice. He wouldn't remember her name, but he could never forget her because of how much he and Azula made fun of her sickly sweet smiles and two-faced gossip. They changed him completely. He acts like a common peasant now. His topknot hardly holds, and he swears like a sailor. He's completely unrefined. It's a disgrace, honestly. Lady Nara sniffs and turns up her nose, in an exaggerated gesture for the captive audience of a girl the prince swears is Nara's daughter. He rolls his eyes. He'll swear however much he wants. The alcohol dulls any anger, mostly. That is until Nara opens her mouth again. And that sister of his is simply disturbing. Mentally unwell, I'm sure of it. Our great leader deserved far better. He's the only one who can hear her, he thinks. That's why she's being so bold with her words. That, and her status as a family friend, would make her hard to disappear. He's dealt with enough personal insults to have thick skin, but insulting Azula is off limits to everyone except him. That's just how this shit works. He's only just started to march forward, however, when a hand in front of his chest stops him. He blinks. Azula. Calm down, brother. You don't want to end up throttling a noblewoman during your first party back home. Her voice is calm, deceptively so. He can hear the undercurrent of cold fury, though. But she called you. I'm aware. Azula's voice is sharp, and she sounds utterly sober, despite the empty wine glass in her hand. Bide your time. You don't always get what you want right away. She pauses for a moment. Then, go to bed, Zuzu. You're drunk. He tries to smile at her, but it feels like it comes out all wrong. He doesn't know how to smile all that well, especially at Azula. He doesn't think it ends up right. She smiles back a little anyway, before pushing him towards the door and wandering off to find Mai or Ty Lee. It's kind of funny, in hindsight, how they used to do the reverse of this back when they were kids, and Azula would sneak out through the hole behind the painting while Prince Zuko distracted the adults in the room so they wouldn't report her missing for a few hours. Well, it's not really funny. It doesn't make him laugh. Just sets a molten sadness in the pit of his stomach that makes it kind of hard to breathe. He gets around it, though. He stumbles back to his room and sits beneath the spray of the shower, trying to wash away the horrible feeling settling down inside him. It follows him into his dreams. He hasn't been sleeping well lately.
Take care of my family. That water let me go. Da 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 da.
Seven. He keeps visiting Uncle, even though he shouldn't. Uncle just makes every open wound burn with more intensity, like he's pouring inside salt with every word he doesn't say. Maybe the prince deserves to be bleeding, if even silence can make him shake.